The Adonis Audio Experience. This episode is brought to you by The Cigar Factory Outlet. Now more than ever, it is critical to get your smokes online. No one does that better than The Cigar Factory Outlet in South Norwalk, Connecticut. You can go to www.discountcigars.org or just hop on the Google and type in Cigar Factory Outlet, Norwalk, Connecticut. It doesn't matter if you're from New York City or somewhere out in Idaho. The Cigar Factory Outlet will ship to wherever you are. Welcome, everyone. It's the Adonis Audio Experience. You're going to get the Philpo Brothers today, the 1-2 punch, me and Jose. Jose, how you doing, man?
Hey, good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to be aboard for another one, and another day in quarantine, and we're just making the best of it.
That's awesome. Awesome, man. Listen, let me tell you something. The other day, I had a bean chip. Have you ever had a bean chip?
I don't think I have, no.
Okay. Yeah, so I was at, I told Jasmine this story about Whole Foods, and I told her a little bit about my story up at the Target, but when I was at Whole Foods, thankfully I was able to get in, right? And yeah. I saw this aisle of chips, and I grab them, and it says nacho cheddar chips. So I just grabbed them off the shelf. I didn't really pay attention to the packaging. Then when I get home, it says bean chips. So these chips are made out of beans. And I'm like, okay, this is interesting. So I start eating these chips. And Jose, man, I got to tell you something. I ate the whole bag, dude.
So you highly recommend?
I ate the whole, you know, when you are just obsessed with eating something and you're just like, your saliva's just flowing, you're eating this thing just nonstop, munching. Dude.
Yeah.
I literally ate a family size bag in like one sitting. It was it was the perfect crunch, the perfect fluff to that nacho. And then you kind of lightly deep fry it, and it's just powdered in this cheese that I'm still tasting it, bro.
I will look out for a bag next time I can, you know, get into a supermarket. Yesterday there was probably a 250 person line outside of Walmart.
Oh my god!
So I said, I'll live to fight another day on that one. We're not going in.
Oh my god. You know, it's crazy out there. So
yeah,
that was my recent experience, man. But what have you been up to these past couple days in quarantine?
So, yeah, I mean, you know, same thing, home, you know, working from home. Yesterday, I tried to get into an auto zone because I just needed a little thing for my car. They straight up just wouldn't let me in. You don't have a mask, you can't come in.
Oh, my God.
So they said, no, thank you.
Get Wait.
Out. And,
You're telling me if you do not have a mask, they will not let you in.
That was the only time I've seen that, heard that. And so, yeah, I mean, they said, listen, you got to order it online. we turned around there, went to Target yesterday, got some essentials there. I mean, I still had gloves. I just didn't have a mask.
Yeah.
Because I bought like these really cheap masks and they fall apart, you know, right away.
Oh my God.
You know, so, I mean, I still had gloves. I just figured, you know, even though I wasn't even wearing gloves, but
yeah.
You know, so yesterday I got to a Target and, wish I had your little bean chip recommendation then, maybe I would have found it. But, you know,
yeah.
got some bear essentials. And,
yeah.
Outside of that, everything is still closed. Everything's closed. Now the county parks are closed.
Oh my God.
Because at least down here in Jersey, you know, nobody tells us what to do. And, you know, we're going to go outside.
Of course. It's Jersey.
Yes. So they closed the county parks. So people stopped going out for walks and stuff.
Oh, my God.
They took the rims off the parks in town from the basketball courts because people were still going out there and playing.
Oh, my God.
Like, you know,
that's
you know
crazy.
What? It's right because we need to do this. If you do it right once, maybe it's over in 3 months. But if you keep messing around, It could be a year and a half of this.
I get what you're saying, but when is enough? When is enough? I mean, the other day I read something where Apple and Google are teaming up to create like this contact trace software for the coronavirus, meaning they're going to have software, which they already have, to identify what people have been maybe in critical care centers, what people have been hospitalized, and then literally trace it down throughout the community where that phone has had contact with every other phone. And it's just, again, man, you know my stance on this. A lot of people do as well. But it's like, when is the limit? Like, how much of our freedoms are we giving away to make sure that we're all safe? And sometimes the cure is worse than the sickness. And I know that's been going around lately, but I can't imagine living in a world where our phone is just in. We know they're already tracking everything, but now it's just we've opted in. We're just like, okay, go ahead. Finally.
You know, and when this thing ends, they're still going to be tracking you like that. They're still going to be, you know, just like now, we're sitting, you know, we're just sitting there talking about any specific product, and then it pops up on your, you know, on your Facebook, you know, like, you know, they're listening to you. They're listening to us already. They're tracking us, you know, unless you want to stop having a cell phone. But I mean, that's like impossible. You can't even, you can't do that in this day.
And look, you know, you made that 9/11 reference our last show. And I got to tell you, you know, when politicians back then were saying, you know what, a terrorist only has to be right one time. We have to be on point always. But as long as that person is right one time, we are going to live in this fear and we're going to react in a certain way when things happen. And in 9/11, we went into Iraq and we literally tore down the doors out of everything that was in our way. We were a wrecking ball, just like going through. Nothing was going to stop us from our mission, right? At least that was the sense of it. And we did a lot of that. And my whole thing is that we didn't find weapons of mass destruction. We didn't find a firecracker. And now we're in this place where we have our liberties being taken away. We're being told to stay shut in. We're not given any timelines or timetables. You got Apple and Google saying we're going to just track everyone. You'll have the option, quote unquote, to opt in, but we're going to offer that to save humanity. And then just the other day, we talked about it as well. Bill Gates wants to create a digital chip for everybody. And I'm just feeling like all four walls are closing in on me. Like, Jesus, you catch what I'm, you sniff what I'm throwing over here.
Yes. No, it's too much. It's too much with, you know, and Gates has had a lot of great ideas. And then I don't know if it was a TED talk he was giving or whatever in 2015, where he basically predicted this whole thing. So, you know, now everybody, you know, so he's kind of been front center.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Yeah. You're not putting some chip in me though. We need to, you know, find another way, you know,
just
need to start focusing on who's sick, you know. Honestly, I don't even know if you live with somebody who's a nurse or something, like that's where it's going to happen. Like the nurses are going to come home and like give it to their families.
First responders are for sure, and healthcare workers are at the greatest risk. Their loved ones are in peril. It's going to be a very interesting time for those people, because we don't know what effects that's going to have on their families. And those are the stories that are yet to be written, which in the next coming weeks, that without a doubt is going to be in the headlines. But, you know, this quarantine just keeps building up. And my last point with this, because I don't want it to be the Corona show. I can easily talk about the Corona for the entire day. because it's driving me nuts. It's the only thing I read about every single day. Updated deaths, updated sickness. Oh, hospital levels haven't increased as far as admissions compared to the last 10 days, but we're not making any promises. We're just saying that there hasn't been the same influx. That's all we're saying. But people are still getting more sick.
Exactly. Like, they didn't even want to, like, say it's good news. They're like, it's just not bad news for once. Like,
yes. You know. And you know, a lot of people are saying that it's the left, it's the right, who's making the decisions. Honestly, I think that, you know, it's not even up to them at this point. Like, there's something bigger than ourselves happening. We're in this active war. People are trying to point fingers, whether it's the left or the right. But ultimately, who's suffering the ramifications? We're here home. We're here shut in, right?
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, we are suffering, you know, I mean, and I guess, you know, we can't be out there spreading it around, but, you know, this is not ideal.
Yeah.
You know, and somehow we became the leader in this whole thing. It started in China, and now we got
More
cases than anybody else.
Dude, speaking of China, you know, it's crazy how now the talk is that all this racism towards Chinese, and I'm like, give me a break, man. And I apologize if anyone is offended by this, but give me a break. Like now the Chinese are the most oppressed people on the planet. I mean, listen, people have been calling diseases by regions or like the Zika virus was in the Zika forest. The Ebola was in the Ebola River. The West Nile virus, MERS, Middle Eastern Respiratory Syndrome. So it's like, listen, if someone is blaming or not blaming, but that's where a disease has originated and people are labeling, oh, it's a Chinese virus that we contracted. It's not that people are being racist towards Asian Americans. That's not racism towards Asian Americans. It's saying that, yes, we have a problem. We have a problem when all these wet markets, quote unquote wet markets, that are being reopened in China where the outbreak occurred. And now these people want to re-engage into their normal life of going to these wet markets and eating animals that spread coronaviruses all over. And, you know, I got my own theory if we're getting it from animals anyway. But let's say if we are, like, the largest population in the world is reopening these markets that could be highly contagious to coronaviruses. So when we say Chinese virus, we're not saying Asian Americans are a problem to society. It's just,
that's a great exaggeration. Now they, you know, that's just where it came from. I'm sorry. You know, it's just means of identification. That's what we're going to call it. You know, he doesn't have to call it that, but you know what? That's
You
know,
and I was watching the Bill Maher show the other day, and you know, he's a little interesting, but he had this one analogy where he's like, viruses come from China, like shortstops come from the Dominican Republic. And that had me dying, because when you look at SARS in 2014 or where, whenever that came out, 2015, and then you look at the COVID-19 coronavirus coming out today, it's like, come on, man, it hasn't even been 10 years and we have two outbreaks from the same place.
No, you know, I mean, you can't help but think that. I mean, you know, because they're eating, you know, a lot of obscure animals over there that we don't, you know, that we wouldn't, you know, not that we're perfect, but, you know, that just, you know.
Dude.
It's a lot more likely for it to develop over there than to develop over here.
Dude, but we got to get into a lighter note because we could just beat this down for forever. And one thing I did want to get into quickly and switching gears is Bernie Sanders, man. Bernie Sanders is dropping out of the race. And one thing I have to say is that I'm not surprised. You know, the machine has been, they've had this love affair with Biden for a while. And when I mean the machine, I mean the DNC, the Democratic Party. You know, they, in 2016, Bernie surprised everybody. And he shocked the DNC, where to the point that the DNC just had to force its hand, like almost like through brute force and using that super delegate count to
get Hillary in there.
Oh yeah, just jam it in, boom. You don't even try it, buddy. You know, and you know, and it left a sour taste in people's mouths, where I think that in certain districts, those people either voted for Trump or those people just stayed home because it left a sour taste in people's mouths. And then in 2020, or rather the presidential election cycle, that the nomination cycle in 2019 that happened, you got all these candidates that kind of fit Biden's profile that are all running at the same time while Bernie's running. And what ended up happening is that they did it in a much clever way, where the overall share of the people who were voting opposing Bernie was greater than Bernie's share of votes. Does that make sense?
Yes, yes, I got you. It does.
Okay.
You know, and it's kind of crazy how Bernie lost steam, because I remember even to that Nevada, even to the Nevada debate, which I want to say was November, December-ish.
It was. And before we get into Nevada, yeah, I did want to emphasize that it's amazing in finishing this point is that everyone dropped out before Super Tuesday. Amy Klobuchar, Pete Buttigieg, everyone just said, listen, I'm out. And they all endorse Joe Biden.
Joe, yeah.
In lockstep. And to me, that is the most clever way that they were going to handle and deal with this Bernie Sanders situation and the political revolution that he was inspiring upon young adults who, let's be frank, didn't really have a strong showing this time around. And I think they're a little checked out. I think some of them might have gone to the Trump camp anyway. And then all of a sudden, Biden is the lone guy, and he didn't have to do it in a disruptive way like it was in 2016 with Hillary Clinton. And that's really my point. But, you know,
100%.
Yeah, man. But then, yeah,
100%.
Bernie was still riding, right? And then the Nevada thing happened, and to your point, you were saying.
Well, I mean, he still had a huge lead at that point, and he wins Nevada. And, I mean, Biden was almost like on life support.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I don't – it's just crazy. I mean, like, I said this to my friend the other day. You know, Bernie's campaign fell apart faster than Atlanta in the Super Bowl a couple years ago. Like, it's,
wow.
You know, and obviously,
wow,
it was a lot of what you said. Everybody's dropping out. You know, yeah, the only person that stayed in the race, I think, was Elizabeth Warren by the time Super Tuesday came around.
And she was there to drown out the people who were on the fence between her and Bernie.
Yeah, because I mean, if you're voting for her, you're going to vote for Bernie if she gets out of the way.
Yeah.
But I honestly just think that people are going to flirt with Bernie, but his ideas are just a little too radical. They were never really going to let him go. And honestly, now going all the way to November, I don't think you ever would have beat Trump anyway. You know, I know that, you know, our youngest brother, Fidel, was definitely feeling the burn. So
he
know.
Was feeling, I've been watching him on Twitter, and he is feeling the burn heavy. I know he's probably heartbroken about this. So Fidel, we love you, man. Shout out. But Bernie's out.
I gave him a hard time about it, but you know what? And it's probably wrong because they flat out screwed him in 2016 and they didn't even know what they were doing because
didn't. They had this way. This was well planned out,
You know, Bernie might've beat Trump 4 years ago and they wouldn't be in this. What they feared.
And that's now, the problem with the Democratic Party is that they know what's right for you every single time. And they do it from a top-down approach instead of from a bottom-up. And the issue was that if they don't despise Trump as much as they say they do. They don't. Because if they despise Bernie more. And that's just the truth. Don't tell me that you don't despise Bernie more than you do Trump. It's in plain sight that you do. And it's funny because I was on the Bernie wagon. I didn't think Joe Biden had a shot. And you know what? I miscalculated a step, and it was Trump's political savvy. And a lot of people don't respect it, but Trump has a political savvy that a lot of people are not paying attention to. And he already knew that if the DNC was all in on Joe Biden it was, no matter what. And that's why Donald Trump, President Trump, started laying down the groundwork. He started laying down the bricks for Joe Biden with the whole thing in Ukraine, because he already knew if the DNC is supporting Joe Biden, it's going to take an act of God for him to not be the nominee. And long behold, who's the nominee? It's him. It's Joe Biden. And Trump called it months ago. And it was interesting that he did that, because I thought with all that came out with Ukraine, they would sit Joe out of this one. But I guess they want to go 15 innings with the reality TV star.
You know, and I mean, they must think that this is their best shot. I can't believe, I mean, there's people smarter than me making that decision, pulling the string, pulling the strings behind the scenes. Real quick to Bernie, you know, not that I'm even really a supporter, but my, you know, our whole generation is, you know, he owns our demographic, you know, the millennials, you know.
Yours. I'm a Zennial. You're a millennial, so don't throw me in your group.
All right, you know, like, you know, like, basically, you know, like, you know, I'm 30, you know, like, you know, like 32 to like 24-ish. Like, he's dominating us.
Sure,
you know, he's
sure.
Promising to pay for everything.
Sure.
If he was a decade younger, he would have had another shot at this in 4 years. But
he would take the country by storm. I agree.
Yeah. This is probably it for him. But yeah, you know, I mean, Trump saw it like before. We did, you know, with Biden and, yeah. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he saw it. He called it. And, you know, but hey, listen, Bernie, we feel for you. I put up a good argument why you should be the political candidate. But now that you're not, goodbye. I don't want to hear from you anymore. Take your name out the ballot. You know, Bernie said he's going to leave his name on the ballots still in these primaries. And I guess so he could still have some political clout and maybe have some, you know, some say in legislation going forward that Joe Biden may agree or not agree to, which, you know, it is what it is. Because if Biden becomes president, I mean, Bernie's irrelevant anyway. So, you know, I'm good with Bernie just settling into the sunset. And let's get this 15-round match between two old candidates, two old politicians. I would say old school, but they're just flat out old, right?
They're just flat out old. Trump's the young guy.
He's got,
you know, Trump. He's got fresh legs.
Although I will say, after the stress of all this coronavirus, this might have aged him an additional 5-10 years. I mean, you never know. Doing all these press conferences every night, but
you know, it definitely did.
Jose, man, there's got to be some more fun stuff out there. And I know you're a big baseball guy. You played baseball your whole life. I remember seeing you as a kid just having so much damn potential. I still tell the story to my friends of the day we went to Dominican Republic. And I forget how old you were, but you might have been like 12 or maybe 13. And I could be 13, off one or two years. Yeah.
Yeah. Summer of 2003.
Oh my God, summer of 2003. You have the best memory when it comes to this. And I remember you just knocking the cover off of balls. And I was just like, man, this, you know, you were like a little man child at a young age. And it was just so much fun to watch. And, you know, baseball has always been part of our DNA. I mean, our dad played baseball. He played softball. He was just obsessed with the sport. And obviously, you can speak on that. And, you know, we got spring training that pretty much got canceled. And, you know, there's all this stuff going on in sports in general. But what's your take on baseball spring training and what's going on going forward with the season, man?
So honestly, I mean, I don't think they want to say it because they don't want to be this blunt about it, and they want to find a way to save it. Me and you will not be going to the Bronx this year and enjoying a nice Yankee Red Sox game like we like to do. I
Stop
don't
it.
think that's I don't think it's going to happen.
No
But
way.
they can, but they can have a it's going to be a little radical, but you know, fine. You know, they talked about this Arizona plan where they can play games at spring training sites and where the Diamondbacks play. And honestly, I think that's our best option, you know, because you know, you could even play. It doesn't, if you don't get off the ground till June, you know, you don't have a climate issue down there. If the season needs to leak even into the first week of December, fine, you know. And you know, because we, you know, just to provide a decent distraction, you know.
And
But
he, sorry, not
go
to
ahead.
cut you off. Go ahead, man.
No, I just think, honestly, for most sports, but we'll just stick with baseball, you know. I honestly, even if they open up the stadiums and they're like, we're open for business, people are terrified. No one's going to a game right now. After being quarantined for 2 months, you're gonna chance it by going to a, you know, by going to Yankee Stadium right away. Like, I think people are gonna take their time anyway. It might just, you know, at least for the first few months, they might do this, you know, this Arizona thing would be a viable option that hopefully they can get off the ground by Memorial Day, you know, Lord willing, and salvage some part of the season.
That's a lot. That's a lot. I can't imagine fans not being part of the sport, though. You're telling me that they're gonna play the sport without fans?
Desperate times call for desperate measures, and you know, these guys are still billionaires, they're still businessmen, and as much as money as they make from ticket sales, parking, and concessions, the money comes from TV. And if they could play any amount of games, they don't have to give that money back, you know, which is the same reason the NBA is probably going to do something kind of extreme as well, because they want to keep that TV money. And you know, we still need games to watch. And honestly, baseball lends itself to that because so many of these games, I watch a lot of Met games because of where I am, even though I'm a Red Sox fan. You know, when the Mets are playing
Sadly,
on a
sadly, a Red Sox fan. I won't get into that.
when the Mets are playing on a Tuesday, you know, in Miami against the Marlins, there's 2,000 people there anyway. You know, it might as well be an empty stadium. So, you know, and there's a lot of that. You know, the crowds don't get huge until the postseason anyway, unless you're talking about a select group of teams, the Yankees, the Cubs, the Red Sox that, you know, draw
So what
in,
you're
you know.
saying is the crowds that we experience in big cities, Chicago, New York, LA, you know, you don't necessarily see that across all of Major League Baseball. Which is why there's probably some hidden formula there where you can get away with maybe a quarter of the seats, you know, filled and still have a game. That's what you're telling me.
That's what I'm telling you. That's what I'm telling you.
Shit.
And, because I would, we need a distraction. We need to, if things could get a little better now, and I don't, I really haven't even looked at how the situation is in Arizona, but I'm assuming it's, I mean, it's got to be much better than what we're living through here. But listen, you test every player. Now, this is going to be a little extreme. Like, the players aren't going down there with their families. You know, they're basically, this is going to be like camp style, you know, like when you were like if you're in like training camp in like the NFL or something, like they're going to put you up in dorms in a hotel, you know, and the team's going to be by itself, and you're going to be playing games with no fans. I mean, they're even talking about like when you're in the dugout, that they're actually going to spread the players out in like the first couple of rows
Oh my
because it.
God.
Because there's no need to be on top of each other in the dugout,
Oh my
because, you know,
God.
so we can social distance appropriately.
I mean, listen, we're gonna rip out the heart of the game. We're gonna rip its heart out by doing these things because, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, sports is about an emotion. It's a feeling. there's an intensity to cheering fans. It's why so many people like college over even the pros. People think that the pros are not engaged enough. How are we going to deal with social distancing when we already see a drop in the emotional commitment from college to pros and we don't like it? Now we're going to have a drop from, you know, packed stadiums to stadiums that are people 6 feet apart, and you know, sounds and screams are not going to echo and through the chambers of the halls when NFL players are just roaring through that tunnel into the field. You're not going to get that Ray Lewis experience, that intensity. Like, it's just not going to exist. That's what makes sports beautiful. Sports is not this kind of like mechanical machine. I mean, they pump out the money like a machine, but
yes,
there's a component to live sport venues with screaming fans and players hugging and hitting and everything in between that makes sports so amazing. And if you take that away, you might as well just let EA Sports take over the entire platform and let's just watch video games on TV. You might as well that.
My friends have been doing that this week too.
Oh my God.
Yeah. You know, that was really well said by you, and it's true. I mean, listen, sports are like the most wonderful thing. You know, it's like, you know, it's unscripted content. You don't know what you're going to get that night. You know, it's beautiful. You know, it's, you know, this is obviously, hopefully, a very temporary solution. But, you know, but if they say that they can start June 1st and do it like this until August 1st, and then maybe August 1st, where, you know, we live in the worst part of the country for it. I think everywhere else, they're probably okay. You know, they could probably start playing in Kansas City in June.
Yeah.
But, you know, if everybody's stadium isn't available, you know, it's just, you know, they... You know,
so New York's going to be SOL.
Sort of. Yeah, probably. That's why this spring training, you know, and they're talking about like basically splitting the divisions in a, you know, in a non-traditional way, just, you know, basically to where people have their spring training sites next to each other. So you leave the Florida teams in Florida and the Arizona teams over there in Arizona.
Got it.
And you just play. So I think the Yankees and the Mets would almost, they wouldn't be in the same division, but like the Phillies and the Yankees might. Like, it's gonna be so radical.
That is radical. That is radical. But
it would be a distraction. And listen, people will watch the games. I mean, they'll get ratings like they've never. The ratings would probably even go up because what else is anybody doing? We'd be starving for baseball.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? You're probably right. I mean, I always use caution when there's these new radical ideas, but sometimes it takes new radical ideas to create something new, whatever the new normal is going to be. And it's probably that. I'm still old school in that feeling that, you know, I need to see the blood, sweat, and tears that go with the game. I guess we're going to have to experience it a little different. It's not going to stop us from watching it because we're consumed by the screen. And I think you just have to put things on the screen and keep the screen relevant in order to keep us glued to it. And nobody knows how to do that better than large media companies, period. And it's going to work. They're going to make it work. So I don't disagree with you on that. I think that the future...
They're going to make it work.
Yeah.
And let me say one thing about baseball. It just naturally lends itself to the safer game. You know, we're not breathing on each other like we are in basketball on the low post or anything. We're already outside, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, and there's minimal physical contact.
Yeah.
So I think for all those reasons... You know, they could really make this work, and maybe it's the first sport to come back. You know, I don't think they had any. I don't think any major leaguers have tested positive. There was a couple minor leaguers, definitely one on the Yankees.
Yeah, you would remember that.
Yes, it was definitely a minor leaguer on the Yankees that, you know, they definitely have walked somewhere. You just stay away from Garrett Cole.
Yeah. Well, Jose, it's been real. This has been a lot of fun. We got the Philpo brothers 1-2 take on this. I hope everyone stays safe. Jose, any last words for the group?
You know, yeah. I mean, you know, just stay safe. Take it one day at a time. Things seem to be getting a little better. Let's hopefully get some good news by the end of this week. And, you know, just stay strong, everyone. Thanks for listening.
All right, everybody. You guys take care, and we'll talk soon. Peace out.